Welcome back to the Crossheart Off-Road Podcast, brought to you by Prime Shape Fitness. Hey gang, welcome back to the Cross Thread Off-Road Podcast, where we talk about some silly stuff and sometimes serious stuff. First thing I want to talk about is Can Mitch Fix It segment today, and today it has to do with my pickup. I took it in for its oil change and tire rotation. No, I don't change my own oil on the truck. I'm going to try to do it pretty soon on the Jeep. I know it's a simple thing to do, but sometimes you take it in and I actually have a tire rotation. I got my tires there. I fixed the tires at the shop. And the reason I went to a dealership or steelership, depends on how you want to call it. And the reason I take it there now is because it's the daily driver. I want to make sure everything's on the up and up. This one I take on my route for my training programs that I do. And I want to make sure it's on the up and up. And it's relatively new truck. I got it with 12,000 miles, and now it has 78,000 miles. But also, they do a nice checkup. And I got my tires there instead of discount tire because, well, I thought they matched everything. I thought the tire rotation was part of it. I knew the tire fix was a part of the program. They matched the price of the tires at discount, so I went there. So I get it both done at the same time. But to my surprise, the tire rotation was not on there, so it cost me $25 to have them do it, which is kind of a bummer. Thought it was part of the deal, but apparently it's not. But more on that later. So they go ahead and do a full inspection of the vehicle, which means they see if there's anything else they can charge you for. And what my plan now is to try to do as much of those things as I can myself. So they came back and they want to change out a few things. And I won't name the name of the dealership because I know the people, but it's one that's in my neighborhood, let's just put it that way. And I actually bought my truck from a boutique place, I guess you could call it. They just deal in high-end SUVs and pickups, some nice ones. I happened to stumble upon this pickup, and it was relatively cheap compared to the ones I was looking at. I think I paid right around $37 for it back in 2017, and it's an AT4 pack or all terrain package. Now they call it the AT4 package. It's a 2016, and now those things are going for. I was gonna go look at one in the 40s before I found this one, and I bought it on the spot. I'm like, I'll take it. And I looked at it for 5 minutes. I knew what I had, it was a good deal. And since then, I've put a few miles on it, but then I also put KO2s on it. So, that's about the only upgrades I'm going to do to this vehicle because, like I said, I want to save the money for the Jeep. You know, that's the one I actually take off road. This truck is my one I take hunting and haul the family around in. It's a nice, quiet deal. So, I like it for that reason. But obviously, with anything you buy, you put miles on it, it's going to need a few things done to it. So, they came back with the oil change, entire rotation. That deal was part of the deal, but then they added another 800 some bucks onto it that they wanted to do. And I'll explain what they had going on. So they wanted to do new rear brakes, and they told me just needs new rotors, just needs pads. But they put pads and rotors on the estimate. That was $269.25. And then they also added a brake flush for $129.04. So I'm looking at those two things, and obviously, you know, $269 or $270 plus another $130. So you're talking $500, $510, right around there for the brakes. So I thought, you know, I think I can do this myself because they said just need new pads. I don't think I need to flush out the brake system for anything. So that one I went and bought. I looked at pads. Pads into the cheaper version with $30. And I think, well, when I went to the store, I said, well, I can probably upgrade that a little bit. So I spent $50 or $60 on the gold series of brakes and upgraded them a little bit. And then I also want a cabin air filter. And to replace it, $68 just to replace it. The filter itself was $45. So you're talking $130 right there, $120, $130. You know, so they're going to, you know, a lot of money. Let's just put it that way. $110 it was. A lot of money. So they're into it alone here for about $500-$600. I bought all the parts I needed for under $100. Then I bought a bottle jack, and that was the hard part to find one. What's their names were all out. Home Depot was out. Harbor Freight was out. So I tapped into the Menards app And sure enough, they had a bunch of them sitting there. So I ran into Menards, picked myself up a 6-ton bottle jack for $27. So now I have a bottle jack. So the money I saved, the $431 that I saved from doing these things myself, and I was able to get a bottle jack. So now I have a bottle jack to take with me and to do my thing for what I do. So a little bit about the process of changing rear brakes on a 2016 Sierra. It's not too bad. I had the jack stand, now I have a bottle jack, so I, loosen up the lug nuts. I actually watched a YouTube video a couple times of this dude doing it, some good old boy down in Texas. Watched him do his on his Silverado, and same thing on a Sierra. They're the same deal, basically. So it took me, got the bottle jack out, jacked it up, put it back on a jack stand just to be safe, got everything off. Gave me an excuse to bust out my torque wrench once again to torque down the lug nuts after I got done. So I took it all off. And then it's a little bit of a learning process because this dude didn't quite say, this is how it goes back together. That was kind of my hang up. So I'm kind of going around and doing everything the wrong way the first time. And I put the pads in backwards. We'll say I had the inside one on the outside. But the engineers at GMC, or GM engineers, I should say, they won't let you put the caliper back on if you have the pads in wrong. There's like a little tabs on the one side that won't let you put it back together. So I took it back off and put it back in the right way, all slapped together real nice. So the first side, all in all, it took me an hour. And the first side took me probably 40 minutes of that time. The second side, since I knew what I did wrong, the first time, and kind of the learning curve, figured it all out, and they had that done in 15 minutes at the most. I mean, it was so lickety-split that the second side compared to the first side. That's how it usually goes. You go through the learning process of doing it, the first time. The second time takes you no time at all. I kind of talked about that when we did our winches, putting those on. Like the first one took us an hour, and the next three probably took us an hour altogether to put together and put on. It's just, once you do it a first time, you don't need to relearn it. So that was kind of my learning curve this time, was on the brakes, was to get that done. So I could have done a cheap way with the cheaper pads, but I kind of upgraded. I wanted to get it done before it kind of get into the rotors, because I knew I didn't need to do the rotors if you kind of get the pads done. And this kind of helped fix another problem I was having. I thought it was the brake booster, but at low speeds, my GMC the brakes weren't keeping up. And I think what happens, these pads are just worn out enough where they kind of relaxes when you're driving slower, and the brakes weren't kind of kicking in right away. So I thought it was a brake booster, but I think it was just the rear pads didn't have any much volume left in their deal. So I kind of fixed that problem a little bit more. I haven't seen much of that since I changed out the brakes. So I'm happy about that. The front brakes are fine, yeah, they said. So again, I'll probably still go in for oil change, but as soon as they tell me something's wrong, like the front brakes need to be on, which I've had off before for when I changed out the front hubs on these things. So I know how to do that now. That's not a problem to fix. So I'm excited about whenever that comes. I can just spend the money, and it's probably going to be $50-$60 again to fix the front one. So now I got brand new brakes out back. So I'm pretty happy about that. The other thing on Mitch, can Mitch fix it? It was the cabin air filter. And I kind of talked about the price point already, and I kind of found one for $15 on Amazon, but I actually went down to AutoZone anyhow, and I picked up the $20 version. Was it 20 or 30? I think it was a $20 version. They had a 15 and a 20, and I just went for the 20. And I didn't even, they told me I needed to replace it because they had no record of them replacing it at all. So I said, well, I'll figure this out. And I'm glad I did. When I pulled it out, I don't know if you guys change your own air filters at home, which I hope you do. Every 6 months or even 3 months, you should take care of those air filters. And so I pulled out this air filter, and it was, let's just say, it was black and blocked. So as the cabin air filters, I know newer vehicles, your TJs will probably not have one. Let's just put it that way. But your JKs, JLs, JTs will definitely have it. But I changed out this cabin air filter, and it took I think I take out four Torx bolts, tiny little things, clipped this thing out. I watched the same dude that I found online to fix my brakes. He had a cabin air filter video. And it took him 20 minutes with videoing, I'm pretty sure, because it took me all of 10 minutes, if that, to take this out. And the longest was me just looking at the thing and going, man, this thing is dirty. That's what took the longest. But took it out, changed the cabin air filter, and so now I have a new one in there. Again, you can't screw this one up because it's rectangle on this particular model, and it wouldn't go in the right way. Just spin it 90 degrees, boom, it's ready to go. So that all took like a whopping 20 or 10 minutes altogether. And that's with 2 minutes of patting myself on the back that I did it. So again, I saved $431. If you add the money back in I spent on a jack, saved me $404. Now I have a bottle jack at home and don't have to use the stock jack that's in the Jeep or the pickup or my wife's Jeep. If I have to do anything with the wheels or tires, bottle jacks are so nice to have, and I've just been, using the one out of the Jeep forever, and that's a kind of a pain in the butt with the screw type or scissor type. So anyhow, got that done. So I'm pretty happy with the results of the couple different things, and I was looking for more stuff to do. So I researched how to do my wife's cabin air filter, and I think I'm gonna order one of those up off Amazon and do that sometime this spring. Get the might spring for the one that's a little bit more because she has allergies type of thing. So whatever, it's an easy replacement, and we've had that Jeep for a few years now, so it's probably due. And it's better than taking it to somewhere and they say, hey, it's only going to cost you $110. Well, you can do it for $15 yourself and 5 minutes of work. I actually watched the one on how to do it on a Jeep Grand Cherokee, and it was like way easier than one of my pickup. There's no screws to take out. The thing just pops in and out. So pretty excited about that. I'll watch the video again on YouTube. That's a great thing about YouTube. You can learn a lot of things to do yourself. So that's kind of my Ken Mitch Fix It segment today. We actually have a lot more things than just me rattling on talking today. I have a friend coming back here who have been on a podcast before with his JK. It's Leslie Morrison, and he's going to come on and talk a bit about some new things he has going on. And so you're going to hear about that coming up here next. Hey gang, maybe you're listening to this podcast and wondering why it's brought to you by Prime Shape Fitness. Well, my name's Mitch. I own this podcast, but I also own another business, which is the main thing that I do. And I'm a personal trainer. I've been a personal trainer since 1999, and I love helping people get in the best shape of their life. So if your goal is to gain weight, lose weight, get in shape for a running race, or just to be fit and strong, I can definitely help you out with that. I do one-on-one personal training, either in person or online. I do small group training in person or online. I also do give you nutritional advice and much, much more. If you've never worked with a personal trainer, a lot of people find it very motivating and fun while they're getting their butt kicked. So if that's something that interests you, message me on primeshapefitness.com. I have a way to get you to hold me for that. Or go to the Facebook page. Find me on Prime Shape Fitness or even CrossThread Off-Road, message you through there, and I'll get a hold of you. All right, I'm welcoming back to the CrossThread Off-Road podcast. My friend Leslie, last time we did this, Leslie, we were in my house. Now we're on Zoom because that's the world we live in nowadays. But welcome back, Leslie. How you doing?
Thank you, Mitch. Glad to be back.
Cool. We have a lot of cool things to talk about. That's what we call a teaser. There's something big coming up later on in this podcast that Leslie's going to talk about. But first, we want to talk about the rig update, because you had a JK before, now you have something really different. So tell us a little about what the JK had before, and then we're going to talk about what we have now. So fill us on what you had.
Okay, so the JKU, I bought it new, sport, nothing on it, bare bones, to build it up. And we got to the point where we liked it, the rock crawling stage for me. We had 35s, a 3.5-inch lift. The whole front end was upgraded to off-road Quadratec equipment. And we had graphics on the side, the rooftop tent. We had an overlanding trailer. We were set to go when the apocalypse happened.
You were ready to bug out, huh?
We're ready to bug out. And we had tons of fun with it. We've had it for 5 years, and we've gone everywhere in North America, just about, we've gone with that rig.
How many miles did you put on it?
We put on 112,000 miles in 5 years.
Okay, so you got some miles on it.
Got some miles on it. Went through two sets of Duratrac Wrangler Goodyear tires, which are the best. Never broke a bead. And we went down to 10 PSI.
Good.
And just had tons of fun. But you know what? Got some trail damage at some of the off-road parks here in Minnesota. and decided that, you know what, we're more overlanders than rock crawlers.
So you got that part out of your system, huh? So now you're ready to car camp full time, huh?
Car camp full time, yes.
So we had the JK for a long time, 112,000 miles. What did we pick up? What's the new rig?
The new rig, and it was a toss-up. The toss-up was keep the JKU and the overlanding trailer and just keep doing that, which people do that now, or have the option of not pulling a trailer, but still taking everything that you want. Mm-hmm. So we decided to go with the new 2021 Jeep Gladiator.
Yeah, okay. So,
and I am so glad that we did that.
So it fits your need pretty well then. So do you still have a rooftop tent? Kind of tell us your setup. How do you have the JT set up?
Okay, so right now we're still in the setup phase, but we actually got rid of the rooftop tent. I'll tell you why. If I was 20, I'd have that rooftop tent. I'm in my 50s going up and down that ladder in the middle of the night to go, mm-mm. That was starting to not feel good anymore. It's just like, man, up and down this ladder 6 feet in the air. No. I need something that's on the ground a little bit. So we actually went to the Gazelle tents.
Okay.
And we have two of them. We have a winter version, which is a T4. It sleeps four. And then we also have a T4-8, which sleeps eight, even though there's only two of us. But we like a lot of room because we bring a lot of gear.
I should back up a little bit before we talk about tents. I'm gonna back up a little bit.
Okay.
So you got a JT, but which version of the JT did you get? Did you get the S version, the middle road, or the full goat? You know, the full, not goat, the full Rubicon. There's a little teaser for you. But tell us about which version you picked and why.
Okay, so we picked the Sport S with the maximum tow, because we like to be part of the group that buys a limited rig so then we can build it up our own way.
Okay.
Versus buying a Rubicon and taking off those Rubicon parts to build it up even more. Makes no sense.
Yeah, one of the first
and the price.
Yeah, the first JTs that came out, I was watching one of the YouTube shows. The guy buys a Rubicon JT and then takes the axles off right away anyhow and puts another $10,000 axles in. I'm like, so you got the transfer case left that you could have done without, or just bought that separate? So, right. But you got the stickers. You got the stickers, though. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. But so you got the Sport S with a tow package. Are you still going to tow the trailer, or did you get the tow package to have more payload?
Tow package to have more payload. I plan on not towing anything right away, but if I do get something as I get older, I don't have to change the vehicle. I'm set up ready to go.
Okay. And they have, the JTs have the Dana 44s front and rear. Or
correct.
Any JT has those Dana 44s. So you're kind of set that. And you said before on, you said you're eventually going to put the lockers in anyhow, or your own set of lockers. So
Correct.
And
we're working on that right now.
Okay. And so does it have, I can't remember if it is a different gear package with the tow package. Is it a little gear set? I can't remember where that's at.
Yeah, I think the gears are just like the Rubicon. Somebody can quote me on that. But I think it's the same gearing system. The only difference is, you know, there's no lockers and there's no front disconnect button in the Jeep. You know what I mean? But I can add all that. I've found all of that online, and I can add it for a lot cheaper with the exact same OEM buttons in my Jeep that it would for me to pay for the Rubicon and get those same buttons.
Yeah. I put the buttons in mine. Here's my funny thing, a little side story. So I have the air compressor for ARB. I have the ARB lockers, but they're on the shelf, not in the Jeep. I have the buttons in the Jeep, so it looks like I have it.
You know, right.
So the air compressor works, but the onboard air, but I just have the lockers in yet. So, But we're getting closer, guys. We're getting closer. Okay.
Sounds good. So, and I actually want the e-locker, mm-hmm. but unfortunately, none of those manufacturers make it for the JT.
Okay.
So I've heard about the Airbnb lines breaking. And then you're on the trail, and then what do?
Yeah, you're kind of
stuck. But those are the only ones out there right now. So it looks like I'll be getting what you have.
Okay. Well, yours would be probably a bit better than mine because it'll be on a 44 front and rear, on a 30 and a 44. But well, that's cool. I'm excited for you for that stuff. So here's another little fact. I did not know you could get a Rubicon with 373 axles. And so there's different – And this is, I had a podcast over here where I was talking, and I had, that's the same night I drove Jeff's Hemi-powered one. Like, I had a Rubicon, and he had the one with 373s in it. He goes, yeah, there's a Rubicon with the 410, 411, whatever it is, and then there's the other one that has 373 rear end. I'm like, I did not know that was a thing. I did not. There's two levels of Rubicon. I did not know that. But
that must be the base. I think the base level Rubicon, if you can even order it or even if a dealer might have it, it starts at, like, I think 46,000. So maybe that's the one with the 373 gears.
And also the diesel only comes in 373. It does not have the low,
correct,
such low torque anyhow. So I learned that just by obviously watching too much YouTube. But just knowing his random stuff. But I could be wrong, but I knew I had this guy here, and he goes, yeah, this actually has 373s in it. I'm like, I couldn't believe it. He goes, I'm going to change it anyhow. You know, that's why I ordered it like this, because I knew I was going to put 40s
right,
and different gears in it anyhow. So I'm just going to – that's what he ordered. So,
well, Mitch, he might have a diesel then.
No, he didn't. It was a gasser.
Oh, this interesting.
This was last summer before the diesels really kind of made the hit the news.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, so you got this set up. So now we know we have a JT Sport. You know, you can do some upgrades with it. You have the towing package, which is a 7,100. What's the tow number on that one?
7,600.
That's pretty big for. I've actually stood next to a JT, and I could not believe how small it was compared to my my half ton that I have. I was like, it's tiny. And my half ton tow is 9,100. It has a decent towed rating for it. And I couldn't believe how small a JT was compared to my truck.
It's small.
But 7,600, that'd be aggressive, I would say. That'd be aggressive. I want to meet the person who's towing 7,600.
You know what? I've seen these gladiators pulling these huge boats with a triple axle on Facebook. I don't know.
Hope it's not a windy
day. I don't know if it's going to stop that.
Yeah. Hope it's not a windy day, because that's just no fun anyhow. But hope they're not going far, let's put it that way, or on a hill.
Right, right.
I hate going on hills the way it is when I'm towing something.
Right, and the box can hold 2,000 pounds of whatever.
Yeah, that's the number. I was going to ask you the payload next, so I got 2,000 pounds. So that's probably more than you're bringing, I'm guessing. Or are you bringing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. If you're bringing 2,000 pounds of stuff for a weekend camping trip, I think you need to repack a little lighter there.
Agreed.
That's a lot of fridges. And do you have the ARB fridge yet, or do you have a different fridge? I can't remember what fridge you got.
You know, the ARB is nice, but I went with the nicer Dometic. Ooh. That's gonna last my lifetime.
Okay.
So I picked up the Dometic CFX 75 liter off-road dual zone fridge, and it's nice. It lives up to its name.
Does it have the thing where you can plug it in AC when you get home so you cool it down before you take it? Does it have that set up too, or is it all just through?
That one I haven't heard of.
Oh, yeah, that's the ERB, sorry. They have a version. I thought it was Dometic. Maybe you have it, you don't know it. But where, like, before you go on a trip, like when it's the middle of summer and your cooler is, you know, or fridge is warm, you can plug it in at home, get it running, get it nice and cold first, then move it over. And then that way it's already cold.
Okay. Yeah, I have the 110. Yeah.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, the 110 and then the cigarette lighter. Yep.
Yeah, so you know more than you think you know. So you had it.
I do. And it's Bluetooth to my phone, so I can regulate the temperature from inside the JT from the driver's seat on what the fridge and the freezer is doing in the back.
But not while you're driving.
Of course not. That's what the passenger's for.
So did you get the nice display? Did you get the display already built into your Jeep? Which display did you get for the radio and your infotainment?
So my display is, we went up one, I think 5 inches is the basic. We went up to the 7-inch screen. It's got the Uconnect, iOS compatible, and I love it. When I do trail riding, I have the Gaia Maps going, and that's a lot bigger than my phone.
Did you have a different map set up? That's what I was wondering, because I saw that you, with this, and my truck has the screen. I'm pulling up my phone, people who aren't really going to watch this on YouTube. But I was able to kind of pull up different maps. I mean, this is really cool to see it. I could just, that way you don't have to have a separate little tiny phone. You got my, whatever, I think I have a 6 or 7 inch screen on my GMC. And I was like, nice to have that in a Jeep if I was really kind of doing it. But I have this little guy, you know, there when I'm kind of checking things out. But
You know what's nice too about the Rubicon? I think I could get it in my Sport too, but the 8.4-inch screen that they offer comes with a trail button.
Yeah.
That is nice.
My wife's Jeep has, that thing's never going off-road. If it ever goes off-road, my kids are in trouble because they're probably the ones driving it, or me. We're all in trouble, I guess. But it has that. It has everything. It's pretty nice. And my truck has a little bit, too, where you can see what angle you're at and what where your wheels are turned to. Only thing I really wish on my pickup, not to talk about that thing so much because it's not going off-road, I wish I had a camera up front. I really wish that piece. Just for parking, because you know GMCs have the square nose, and you think you're close to the car, but you get out, you look, you go like, I'm 3 feet away from the car in front.
Yep.
This is
yep.
So I wish it was a camera up front. Now I know that Jeeps, JTs and JLs, you can get a camera for it. Do you have that camera, or you think it's worthwhile for you?
I opted out in not getting it from the factory. I installed a Kenwood deck in my JKU that I wish I would have pulled out, but I didn't. And that had option for forward and reverse camera. And I actually put a forward camera in that. So I'm thinking down the road, I'll probably get that same head unit. It's plug and play into the Jeep, and get the front forward facing camera. And you could do multiple cameras around your vehicle with that same unit.
Yeah. It's so funny that the stuff that comes out now on these new Jeeps, new rigs, and like the GMC has one where you can see all around you.
Yep.
Really funky. So like in 20 years when I have that, it's going to be great. So I finally trade this one in because I like it so much. But I off-road with a 2001. It's now 20 years old. So it's a classic. I legally can have classic plates on it if I so chose.
Right on.
But the lack of those features makes it fun. You know, it has I don't know if there's a safety, it has airbags in it, and it has seat belts that all work, which is great. That's about it. And it has new brakes, and that has new brakes also. So that's
you're ready
safety features. And I guess if I want to see outside my vehicle, I can stick my head out the window and look, and that's kind of it. But talking about these new features these new rigs have is great. So let's go back to how you're setting it up. You're in a setup phase and putting the rig together. I know that right now. And you got some tents. I'm looking at your Gazelle tents. You're going straight back to tent camping. Is that right?
We're going back to the basics, yes.
Yeah.
It was a hard decision to make. I just do not like that ladder. And they do make some camp setups now for just the JT. It looks like a canopy topper, and then you can get into it through the box, and then opens up the tent, but you still have to climb up in there. I'm done with climbing up.
I just
want to walk in and it's ready to go.
That was one of my hangups. I went and bought a tent here recently, and I bought like an 8-person tent. It's just me and my two boys will probably be camping, but it's a bigger tent, not quite as big as that one, but close to it. Now that's an Instant Pop one I'm looking at. Is it yours? Okay, so I'm looking at your 8-person one right now. That's nice.
You don't throw it up in the air, so it's not instant pop, but it's designed like the fish hut tents, right?
Yep. Hold open, yep.
And it decides to pop out. 30 seconds, it's up. It's ready to go. You're out of the mosquitoes. You're out of the rain. And the takedown is the same.
I wish I would have got that, FYI. Mine is like, it'll never fit back in the box it came in ever in its life. And I'm like, God, this is a kind of a mess. But my brother had one just like it. So, let's do this. But it takes two people to set it up. And I'm like, well, if you're by yourself, and it's like one of those things, you better do the tent first before you crack your first beer, because it's never going together. You're going to sleep under the truck.
That's a root beer, right, Mitch?
Yeah, exactly. But like, oh, can't do that. But okay, so now the truck's getting set up. So what's getting set up on it right now?
So I actually went down to Tennessee about a month ago, and with my brother's help and guidance, I built a kitchen setup for the JT. Unfortunately, it's still in Tennessee because I brought a lot of gear down because it was the winter time and I couldn't bring it back. So I'll be making a trip down there to get it. Mm-hmm. And we made it out of Baltic Marine birch wood, so it's solid. It's going to withstand the weather, and I'm looking forward to putting it back in the Jeep and having it ready for the surprise.
Oh, well, it's coming up. Is it now? Does it slide in and out a little bit, or is it just kind of
Yeah. So I built one. I took the bed of the truck, which is very small. So the bed of the truck is like 5x5. So I have one box with one drawer in it that's long that will hold gear. And then I also have holes cut in the top so I don't have to open the tailgate to get the stuff out of the boxes. Mm-hmm. You can just pop the top off. And then the next one is half the size, and all that one has in it is like a cutting board slide. So it slides out 24 inches, and then I have another cutting board underneath that slides out another 18 inches. And these slides are 200 pounds weight, so you can put the cooktop, you can cook, water, whatever you need. It could be hanging out, you know, past the tailgate of the truck.
Mm, I'm excited to see this, how you set it up, because I'm always interested to see how people set up their rigs like this. And I like watching on YouTube. I've never been overlanding. You know, my cook setup is I bring a loaf of bread, a bunch of ham, and a bunch of cheese, and I make ham and cheeses on the trail. And all my friends forget to bring lunch, so I'm making stuff for everybody. And I bring Pop-Tarts, and the kids are gathering around. I have zero Pop-Tarts at the end of the day, but all the Pop-Tarts are gone because the kids get into them while we're on the trail. So it is what it is, but it keeps everybody happy. And I bring tons of water. That's all. That's my
right,
thing.
Right.
I bring
the one thing. The one thing I'm disappointed with the Gladiators, when I looked up under the hood, you know how I used to warm food in the JKU?
Oh, yeah. There's no room there?
The plastic housing is like the size of my thumb. So any food that I put on the motor is just going to fall off.
Well, there's an opportunity there. You could invent something, and you could retire next week with that idea.
Right. Yeah, we'll work on that together.
So I brought Leslie on here to talk about a couple different things. So we wanted to kind of hear how the JT versus JK does and how he's setting that up. But we're also breaking some news here. And I was going to have some sounders. I could not find the sounder music. But we're breaking some news here that's kind of just coming to light today. But he's been working on it for a while. So tell us what you have in store. What's your new adventure you're bringing us to us today?
So ever since I got the JKU 6 years ago, and found out everybody that does this and overlanding, camping, and just the joy of getting back to nature, I was brainstorming even back then, but didn't want to pull the trigger. And I looked online to see if anybody else does this in Minnesota. I actually found a guy down in Lanesboro, Minnesota. I think it's like 2 hours south. He owns a bluff. And he does a one-hour Jeep tour on his own property. He, you know, wheels you up to the top of the bluff. You take pictures. You wheel you back down. And I'm like, interesting. Okay. Kept Googling. Found a place up in Ely. They got like a Ford pickup truck, and they did some modifications to the bed, and you can hold like 12 people back there with chairs. And they take you on a three-hour journey through the woods to find moose and bears. They don't guarantee you're going to see it, but the reviews, some have seen, some have not. Okay. And so I'm like, you know what? We need to have something else. We need to incorporate both those things into one.
Okay.
And as of yesterday, I just trademarked my graphics, my name, and we'll be open 2021 for guided overland adventure tours.
Awesome.
Or GOAT for short.
Yeah. So he texted me something. He goes, just GOAT. I'm like, well, what the heck's this? Got me a little more than this. He's like spoon feed to me. So now we got the, kind of a little bit more of it. So kind of what's the general plan and general overview of what you want to do?
So the general plan is when we got our Jeep, we didn't know anybody. We didn't know that there was any place to go except for state parks. Mm-hmm. So opened our eyes to state forests. Oh, you can disperse camp for free. What? Free? What's that? And this is all over the United States. So we're like, you know what? Let's bring this to people that maybe just bought a 4x4 vehicle, whatever it is, and show them that there's places they can go besides state park to get away from people or just the cities and have fun. And I'm a people person. I love people. I love to Jeep. We put those both together. We have this new company. Now we're going to bring it to the world. I'll still have my group that I have on Facebook and we'll do stuff with them. But this guided service is going to be intimate. It's not going to be 20 rigs of 300 people that are going out. It's going to be 3 to 5 rigs at a time. So it's kind of more intimate. We're going to be providing the services of guiding and meals.
Oh.
So it's going to be where you can just come and sit back. I'm still brainstorming whether or not we're going to provide even the gear too. That's still contemplating. The participants, what they need is they need their own 4x4 vehicle. They need their own fuel. They need their own insurance. And then the camping gear.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they don't have it, then we'll figure out something because I have tons of it.
That's pretty cool.
That's basically what it is in a nutshell, yeah.
There's some other places out there that have done it, but there's nothing around here. And this is, I think when I started my podcast, I started looking at like, there's nobody that does a podcast in Minnesota on off-roading. I'm going to do that. Yeah, so it's like you find an empty space that you're interested in, and you jump on it. That's what you did. So congratulations on that. That's awesome.
Thank you.
And so do you have a – yeah, I know you don't probably have this 100% together, but I'm guessing you're going to have a schedule of what you're going to do, or are you going to take it one at a time? If somebody emails you and say, hey, I really want to go to Ely and camp for 4 days, could you put something together? Is it like that, or do you have a schedule that you're following? How are you doing it?
We're going to do a schedule for now, but it's going to be all the best places in Minnesota that you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
So I have prices on Facebook. I just threw them up. And I'll kind of give you a kind of a rundown and what I'm thinking here. So the first one is called Rabbit, and that is $299. That is a 2-day, 1-night adventure. And that's like a beginner route. So you could have like a RAV4 or a Subaru or a stock Jeep, and you'll be able to make it with no damage to your vehicle on the trails that I'm going on. And this would be a 100-plus mile dirt, gravel, and pavement adventure. Okay. Then we go up to the intermediate, which is Owl. That would be $499. Oh, let me back that up. So the Rabbit, that would be for 2 adults in 1 rig. Children under 12 are free.
Sounds okay.
Yep. And you'll also get 2 breakfasts with that. Okay. And then we got so forth. So we have the Owl, $499. That's 4 days, 3 nights. That's intermediate. Trails are a little harder, a little farther. Then we have the Moose, which is $599, 4 days, 4 nights. And for the grand prize, this is going to be the kind of like the ultimate epic adventure. This one's called the Goat. This is $999, so $1,000. This one is out of state or out of country.
Ooh. Is you going to Canada? Is this the Canada trip?
Right. So we actually have one planned for this year. and I haven't even mentioned it on Facebook, so you get it first, Mitch, is we are going to the Continental Divide.
Oh, okay.
And we're going to do part of that. And that one, that's the $1,000 trip. That one's going to be between 7 to 16 days and 6 to 15 nights.
Wow.
So we'll figure out how many and then go from there. And here's a teaser. We are already planning an expedition in Canada for 2022. I'm not going to say where it is, but that expedition is 16 days, 15 nights.
It's a big one.
That's a big one.
You're going to have to haul a trailer just for food, I think, at that point. If you got 16 days, you got a group of people.
Well, we'll figure out. And that one there, I'll just give you this information. That one there is, the trail is just about 300 miles long. It's not that long. However, no, you have to bring your own fuel
to
make the whole trail. So we know that trail is about 10 hours a day.
Oh, wow.
7 days long. So that's the ultimate adventure. So yeah, kind of excited.
So I'm looking at his Facebook page, Guided Overland Adventure Tours. He put a Facebook page up. I'm happy to say I was the first one to give him a follow and like. So I was number one. I saw his this is fresh. So I was there. And he actually invited people. He's at 115 already. So it's already clicking off pretty nicely that people are finding it that he invited. And so you, if you're listening to this, you probably got an invite from him already. But I'm always going to be number one. That's great.
Right.
So that is awesome. It's cool that you're doing this. And so I look forward to kind of watching this page kind of come alive and pictures and videos that you put on there. Because it's going to be kind of see it cool to see it grow and more people get involved in it and to do these adventures. And then if you go to I'm looking at the page right now. If you're kind of looking for the services and stuff, he has that on a service tab. So you just go to the page and kind of click through the tabs. You can kind of see it. It's all fresh and new. So he's just adding things as we speak. And so you're going to see more things on there. I'm certain the day's gone. You got your tent set up, some fires, and some winter camping because, well, that's the season we're in right now. So that's where we're at. That's right. Awesome. I love it. So
And this will be all year round. It's not going to be just spring, summer, and fall. It's going to be winter too. So.
Yeah, you're hardcore in the overlanding world, so you're bouncing around, you're doing this all over the place, and this is right up your alley. So is it time to quit the day job, am I guessing?
The day job has been quit.
Oh, wow.
I know that doesn't make sense, but yeah, I resigned from my job, and you know what? Doing this has just been bugging me, like I said, for the last five and a half years to do it, and I'm like, you know what? We're doing it.
Jumping in both feet. I love it. That's awesome. You're getting after it. Well, I can't wait to see more stuff from this. And, you know, we're going to miss you on the rock trails, it sounds like. But we're going to see you out there at different events. I'm excited to see you and meet you, see you again in person when the world gets back a little bit to normal and so on. But this all looks very fun. So, well, congratulations on the Guided Overland Adventure Tours. I can't believe I got that out right because when I started this podcast today to try to do my intro, I said the wrong name. I said,
oh no,
Crossroad Off-Road. You know, it was like, I said it all wrong. So I had to start over like twice today. I'm like, gosh, you know, I think I know my own podcast name after like 60 episodes, you know, but you screw it up every now and again. But yeah, so look for them on Facebook, Guided Overland Adventure Tours. Follow that, kind of see it grow. He has some places. I've seen pictures. I've followed it. And I've known you now for over a year now? Yeah, over a year.
Yeah, over a year.
Over one
about a year and a half?
Yeah, one of the first people I had on my podcast was Leslie. And so this is kind of a cool adventure piece for you. So I'm excited to see it kind of grow and definitely have to jump on board on this at some point too. And food is included. You know, I tend to eat a lot. So... Hope you're ready for that. Well, awesome.
I'll make sure I have that extra oatmeal packet.
Exactly. Awesome. Well, we're going to see that grow. Now we know a little bit about the JT, what's going on. You're going to have some graphics put on there soon, I know. So excited to see what that looks like. That follows your, I'm sure it's going to follow your business. And I'm excited to see this grow for you. But well, thanks for coming, Leslie. Thanks for being on again. Kind of just give us an update. Not only I was just expecting, to be honest with you, when I texted him, I was just expecting, hey, what's the difference between JT and a JK? And all of a sudden he drops this on me. So I'm like, oh, great. This is way more stuff to talk about then. Awesome. Well, thanks for coming in again today. And we're going to see you on the trail soon then, okay?
Sounds good. Thanks, Mitch.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
Almost forgot. It's off-roading weekend this weekend. It's the March 3rd today. March 6th, we're heading out to Dress Wisconsin Trollhagen for their winter run. Pretty excited about it. Added a new group member to our group, and he's going to do some videotaping. If you haven't had a chance to watch Oleg's Adventures yet on YouTube, he's on the podcast before, but he's going to be joining us. I believe he's bringing his LJ. He has a new JL, but you know we don't want to bring that with. We'd rather have our manual transmission. 2005 is the newest one into the group. 2001 is the oldest, and that's our kind of our group deals. We all have that TJs and LJs now, it looks like. But he'll be joining us, and so hope look for some videos from that on his end, and we'll have a breakdown of how we did over the weekend. It's a chance for us to try out some new tires out there, and I think. It's the second time that a couple of guys we've taken out there. I think Brent will be back out there with his TJ, kind of rebuilt a little bit, his new front axle. He has his seatbelt in. I made sure he has a new seatbelt that we had to cut out last time we went up to Gilbert when he flipped it. And Wade will have his mile stars and see how those do out in the snow. Brent has his, he has Maxxis, I believe. Gosh, I can't even remember. It's 33s and all of my KO2s. So it's going to be a little tire shootout. We'll see who can get through more stuff. So that's going to be kind of a fun thing to kind of compare those a little bit in the snow. When we're at Gilbert, it's kind of like you got a lot more traction there. But we're going to be out in the snow this time for the first time this year. And just to see, it's going to be a fun weekend. So look for some breakdowns of that a little bit, and we'll go from there. But we'll see you guys out there on the trail. Thanks for listening to the Crossroad Off-Road Podcast, brought to you by Prime Shape Fitness, your one-stop shop for your fitness needs.